Our next guest is the superintendent of the Fargo Public Schools, Rupak Gandhi, with us today on the program. How are you, Rupak?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
So how you feeling here as we head into the new school year?
Oh, I feel just as excited and energized as I do at the start of every school year. It is definitely going to be different, but still, it's a great opportunity to have our students back and learning again, so it's exciting.
So what will it look like at Fargo Public Schools? What, what is the sort of, COVID-related impacts, for lack of a better term, that folks will have to get used to this year?
Sure. I think the overall question is, what's the instructional model and how's that going to look? And for us, similar to our neighboring districts as well, we are all going to be opening in what we call a hybrid model, meaning students are going to be in schools for a couple days a week, and then they're going to be doing distance learning for a couple of other days. It allows us to reduce the amount of students that we have in our building and spread them apart a little bit more so we can practice physical distancing a little bit better. And that's kind of how we're going to start the school year. But in Fargo, we have a committee that's going to look at a 14-day rolling average and look at the data every 2 weeks and make a determination if that level needs to change or not.
And the data you're looking at is specific to the students or the overall community?
You know, right now, the only thing that's available for us is data specific to the county, and that's what we're looking at. But the committee is dedicated that once schools open and we're able to work with local health care agencies to extract the data for specifically school-age kids, we are going to look at that as well.
When you talk about the hybrid model, for instance, and having classroom learning one day and then on the other days having learning from home, distance learning like you were doing before. What is the difference? I mean, are you doing like a lesson on Monday that you continue to talk about and learn about on Tuesday, just that one's distance learning and this one's in the classroom? Is it the continuation of the same curriculum?
It is, and there is going to be a little bit of some of the teacher flexibilities as well, because teachers know what their own unique needs are. But one of the pushes, one of the models might be, for example, a flipped classroom. And the way a flipped classroom works is, even prior to COVID, this has been a shift across many school systems. What flipped classrooms will do is allow students to get what we call the introduction to new material, that phase of a learning cycle. They can be exposed to certain new materials at home, whether it's by watching a video or a synchronous lesson that the teacher has put on. But then when they come to school, they receive what we call the guided practice and then their independent practice. So if you look at learning in terms of a cycle, you can be exposed to new content. You can receive that anywhere, any way. But then what you need is some assistance in how to model how to use that new content to problem solve or assess a certain master a certain skill. And then you need to be able to practice that independently. So that could be one of the models that our teachers decide to use, but they'll have some autonomy based on the uniqueness of their own lessons.
From a health standpoint, the COVID concern, what are you most worried about? What's the biggest threat?
You know, I think the biggest concern for me is, I think it's important to acknowledge that we don't have the ability to eliminate the threat of COVID-19. That's just something that we have to set our expectations real. So for me, the biggest consideration is really what happens if and when there is a positive case in our school, and do we have the appropriate systems and protocols in place to be able to execute what we need to do. And I think that's really a big conversation. I know that, rightfully so, parents want their students back in school. So do I. I mean, I think all educators want students back in school in a safe environment as well. The conversation I'm having with parents is that it's not about just trying to reduce the risk of the spread or the transmission. It's also about what happens when there is a positive case. And currently what is a non-negotiable that's outside the control of school districts is when there's a positive case, anyone that's a close contact, meaning anyone that has spent 15 cumulative minutes or more within 6 feet of someone, has to isolate they have to quarantine for 14 days. So for us, it's the more close contacts we have, that's the more amount of individuals that are going to get impacted for a 14-day period, even by just one case. And when we bring all of our students back in at the same time, we don't have the ability to keep our students 6 feet apart. We just don't have the physical space. So that's really what weighs on my mind.
We know that kids are not, a big threat from COVID, right? I mean, they're of all the vulnerable population, children would be low on the spectrum of you know, being a concern once they get it. Obviously, spreading it and other things that come with it are not. Is there any discussion of herd immunity at all to say at some point, maybe after a vaccine is available, that once kids have it, then you've eliminated their being a threat to anybody else and sort of have less of a problem? Is that at all on the table?
You know, everything's on the table. Information changes on a daily basis, and research is changing on a daily basis as well. So we're going to continue to take a look at what the trend data is showing and what the science is showing as well. And I know our conversations probably will change significantly when there is a vaccine available, and seeing how what the impact of that is as well. And then even when you look at schools, it's hard to generalize in K-12 schools just kids, because you have kids all the way from 4 through 18. And our adolescent youth are much closer in terms of being able to be super spreaders, or how COVID-19 could potentially impact them, then it's very different for them than it is for some of our elementary age students. So we're taking a look at everything on a case-by-case basis, but taking a look at all the data that we have, because at the end of the day, our goal is to get all the kids back and return back to school the way we knew it prior to March 12th.
Last question for you, Rupak. When we look back on this years from now, what do you think the damage of last year is going to be, not from a health standpoint, but just from a learning / psychological standpoint for the kids?
You know, a little bit of a tough question to answer, because I think I ask that same question to myself every year. The tricky part about education is that we try to use a systemic approach, but we know that no two learners are the same. So I wish I could say that every year, we are reaching 100% of our students, but I just know that's not real, and that there's always going to be some students that we have to work more for. So I'm hoping that we're creating an environment right now, whether based under these parameters and the pressures of a global pandemic, to create the most meaningful experience, but we're also being able to identify the students that who aren't being successful in this environment and providing them some additional support. Do I think that students that are that spent the last 9 weeks last year in distance learning, or will start this year in hybrid, are going to be any worse off when they graduate at the end of their K-12 careers? I don't. And I think part of the reason I know that that's not true is because what educators do is we meet kids where they're at. So even if there was a learning loss or a gap, which I don't think necessarily is the case because we're providing a robust distance learning environment to students, they will catch them up. And I think learning goes beyond just the classroom and the academic content, as you and I know. There's much to be learned from just being in this environment and seeing how we adapt as a society, and we're building resiliency in our students, and we're learning a lot about how to function and transition to a remote learning environment and to problem solve. And I think these are going to be great skills that our students can be able to contribute when they become part of the workforce or higher ed later on.
Superintendent of Fargo Public Schools, Rupak Gandhi. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
No problem. Thank you very much.
You bet.